Kristen Hanke.
Hi, Natalie Roy.
This is Kristen and Natalie backstage, live in action, here to podcast.
It's true. So you know, if you've been listening, that we are working on a show called Accidentally Brave.
Our first show working together.
I know. We get to be together in a whole different context.
Kristen has a lot of other assistant directors who I know, and I actually saw one the other night, and I said, Kristen's going to be so happy to work with you again, because I've been so terrible.
You're not terrible, but we know that your strength is as an actress.
My strength is as an actress. I have so much fun when I'm playing the stand-in on stage.
I know. I love to go, Natalie, will you go stand in? Oh, sure. So we are here backstage. You may hear some backstage theater things going on as we podcast, but we could not wait to talk to you. And we had a dinner break, so here it goes.
Yeah, we couldn't resist hanging out with you, so we decided to use our dinner break to bring you a podcast. And it's tech week right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so for some of you who...
Actually, first preview is tonight, which is the end of tech week.
The end. And so anyone who knows the theater world or like the backstage of this kind of universe knows that this is the time when you're doing the real long hours, the real long days. This is the time when sometimes people's stuff can come up, when personalities can crash, when you're just spending a lot of time with the same people, when you're in that crunch phase of the process where you wish you had 10 more weeks, but you really have 2 more minutes. And so it's a really interesting part of the process where you can notice your reactivity coming up. And what's been great is, and this is kind of a thing with working with Kristen, is that just doesn't tend to come up with Kristen. but what it led me to think about is, oh, usually during this process, there would be this natural stuff that would be coming up. And I'm noticing that because Kristen, who's at the helm of this whole thing, isn't someone who goes into reactivity. She is someone who's great at responding instead of reacting and looking for solutions instead of talking about problems and these kinds of things, which is its own deep spiritual practice. It made me think that's something that would be great to talk about. And then, of course, once we started thinking about having this conversation, I had these great ways where it showed up in my life. So we thought this would be a fun conversation to have.
So we're calling this podcast Response and Responsibility, because what is our responsibility in our own life when we get stimulus? And how do we learn how to respond rather than react to life?
Right. And what basically we have talked about before many times on this podcast is that you can't control life, or you can't spend time trying to protect yourself from life happening. And something that we've talked a lot about in becoming more of an A-lister or expanding yourself or expanding into a bigger life is it's all about your job is not to have less problems. Your job is to become more adept at handling them, because life is always going to throw things at you. And so part of the game is not seeing anything that gets thrown at you as personal.
Yes. Oh, right? That's it.
So if I'm standing on the street corner and a cab races by and splashes me, it's not personal. I didn't do something wrong. Someone hasn't harmed me. I was just standing on the corner where water was inevitably going to be splashed.
Right. Well, there's a saying that you and I both like is, they're not doing it to me. They're just doing it.
Right.
So it can be easy sometimes to see the bus splash is impersonal, right? Or see that
the person cutting you off in traffic.
Right. That's not personal. But sometimes when it is a human-to-human interaction, it starts to feel personal. And right. That's when we start to make meaning out of it. And it starts to hit at wounds inside of us, sometimes that are very deep childhood wounds that cause this fight-or-flight reaction.
Yeah. And I think for many of us, when especially you're in romantic partnership or romantic relationship or in any kind of interaction work-wise,
collaboration, artistic collaboration,
where you're creating a show, this mm-hmm. kind of thing, what can come up is this feeling of, if people don't treat me the way I think or do things the way I think, then there's a problem created. And then it becomes trying to almost force your will or control over the problem instead of being a witness and trying to learn how to be very curious about what's occurring and what you could learn from what's occurring.
Right. So instead of resisting what is happening, how do we open to what is happening? How can we see what is happening as an invitation?
Right. And another thing, Kristen, I've been talking about a lot this week is when a stimulus happens, oftentimes we will re-traumatize ourselves with the stimulus, even if it's no longer happening. Mm-hmm. So those of you listening who are actors, for example, might know this one. If you had an audition that you felt you really bombed, there's the moment that that happens, and then there's the replaying of it in your mind over and over, and what I wish I had done, if only I could go back. And what's happening is in the retelling, the replaying of the story, you continue to keep it alive in the present moment, even though the moment has passed.
It's our inability to let things go, or in a way, our inability to forgive ourselves.
Mm.
One of the most beautiful things I think we can do is the moment we realize, oh, perhaps I chose a way that is not the way I would like to choose from now to the future. How do we create a situation where we have so much self-love that we go, I can witness that and totally forgive my past self for everything that has happened. And in the same breath, forgive everyone involved.
Well, that's the thing. And it does have to start from the inside, because if we don't have that level of compassion for ourselves, if we're busy being so hard to ourselves and holding ourselves to such a high standard of excellence and perfection that's impossible, then we will inevitably hold others to that same standard, and we will lose our ability to have compassion and sympathy and empathy for the fact that other people are just doing their very best in that moment as well.
And I find the sweeter we learn how to be to ourselves, the more that we can like hold ourselves and be gentle with ourselves, the more we can extend that kind of relationship to everybody around us, to everybody we're working with, to the people we're in romantic relationships with, of like, it's okay. You didn't come here to be perfect. We all came here to make mistakes. We're going to make them our entire lives. Yeah.
You said something today that was really powerful in terms of that is, you know, in a collaboration process, you said, I just never want someone to feel like the kid who's left out on the playground.
Yes.
Or I never want someone to feel like mommy or the teacher doesn't like them. And so having that level of awareness of having maybe been a person who's felt some of those things helps you to know that you don't want to be the person that then makes anyone else ever feel that way.
100%. And I think that I'm very sensitive to not being, I want to embrace everyone and embrace where they are in their process. So how can we gently communicate what our desire is, what our vision is, where we'd like to be, in a way that is inclusive and not shaming.
Right.
So I think something that can happen, and I see it happen in collaboration all the time, is, you know, as a director, it can be very easy to go, no, I want it this way. You're not doing it right. Why aren't you doing it?
Who's wrong? Who's right?
Get in a place where you can be scolding or
dictatorship.
Exactly right. We have seen that in our government. We don't want to be that in our personal lives. We don't want to be that with ourselves. So when we can get into a place where we start to create a sense of inclusion, and wherever you are, there is room for you to grow, to step up, to create, to be forgiven, to start anew, then I think that creates a positive reinforcement where people want to be their best selves.
And one thing that I know you've talked about in terms of collaboration before that really resonated with me, and this could be if I'm collaborating as a co-parent with someone, or it could be in a romantic relationship that we're collaborating and creating this relationship, or it could be in a work environment, is that that person was chosen to be in this room or be in this relationship because they carry part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
That if you single-handedly had the whole thing, if you downloaded the whole piece of the puzzle from the divine, then they wouldn't be in the room.
That's right.
The divine would have given it to you and only you, and you would have executed it. But the fact that there's other people involved means you don't have it all. And they carry a wisdom, a sensitivity, a knowing that you don't have. And so rather than saying, how can I prove that I'm right? And how can my reactions always be to show someone that I'm right or make them see things my way? How can instead I have the responsibility of knowing that anytime I engage in a partnership with someone, it means I don't have all the answers. And part of my responsibility is listening and learning.
And isn't it interesting that in the context of separation that we've all been raised on, we want to create ourselves and the other. And there's an inborn human thing of wanting to create rightness instead of seeing ourselves all as one and inclusion. And that takes an ability to go, what if there's more to the story here? Mm. What if there's more for me to learn? What if there's a deeper opening here that wants to occur so that I can really hold space for what is being revealed?
Right.
And that's challenging to do.
Right.
It's challenging not to get into our rightness. Or one of the things that I think creates separation is our desire to protect ourselves.
Right. Or if you feel that a situation or a person is harming you or victimizing mm-hmm. you, it's like, how can this situation apply?
Yes.
And one thing that our friend Maddie, who we just interviewed on last week's podcast, told me recently is you're not responsible for your first reaction, but you are responsible for your second. And when I dove deeper with her into what that meant, it's like if I took my fist and used it to punch Kristen in the face right now, her body would have a first reaction. Her body would move back in space, or she would put her hand to wherever I had touched her, or she would cry or say, ouch. And that's just her body's natural first reaction to that stimulus. But the second reaction is the one that she's responsible for, which is she has a choice. Do I hit back? Do I start screaming? Do I say, why did that happen? Why did you do that? Do I create a story of how I've been victimized by this person? The choice is ours. And I don't think we're ever going to advocate, oh, just let someone punch you and just take the spiritual route of it's okay. You know, we're not saying turn the other cheek. But what we're saying is that at all moments, we are responsible to our reactions. And many of us have grown up in a way where there is a stimulus that occurs and then we have a reaction and it's a knee-jerk reaction. And what true mindfulness and consciousness is about and being in the present moment and things like meditation, these tools, these practices are all about the space between. Mm. And we're not saying there's a right or wrong way to respond. It's just knowing that you can. It's knowing that you have the choice. It's once you can have a stimulus arise, I got fired from my job, a person hurt my feelings, so I found out someone's having an affair, I didn't get this audition I wanted, I was rejected from something. There's this stimulus that arises. And then many of us think there's a knee-jerk reaction that is just natural. And what we learn in mindfulness is, but if we can pause and take a breath and be a witness to what inside of us is feeling hurt, where do we feel that sensation? What is that knee-jerk reaction? And is that mine? Or is that something I learned? Do I really feel that way? I wonder why I want to respond that way. I wonder why I am triggered by that thing. And when we can start to be in those kinds of conversations, we become more responsible to our true and authentic response and not just a knee-jerk reaction that we might have picked up from our ancestors or our mm-hmm. parents or our school teachers or our friends.
And if we take a moment just to slow down and notice our response, oh, I noticed my heart is beating faster. Oh, I'm noticing I just got flush. I'm noticing I feel a desire to defend myself. If we can just be with whatever's going on in our body and watch that and see what is happening and start to get curious about the process inside of us, instead of making it be something that is about another person, is about something we need to act on. I think we often feel that if we have some sort of stimulus in our body, it means we have to act on it.
Yes.
Right? Oh, I'm feeling angry. Oh, I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling whatever.
Triggered, lost, uncomfortable, you know. I that's something that I've really, really learned. Even in the last few weeks, I've been really practicing. I get to speak. I get to respond, and it doesn't mean I have to do it right now.
Yes.
There's something that's interesting that comes up is many of us, when we have arguments with people, we're fighting to have our voice heard, and so is the other person, and then no one is listening because it's two people really fighting. I'm just a little kid who needs to be seen and heard and valued. But when two people are both in that energy, no one can be heard and the frustration rises. And so something that I've been thinking about and learning lately is I get to have my voice. I get to say that this didn't feel good for me or this hurt me or I want you to understand what the impact on me was, but I don't have to say it right now.
And that's where the 24-hour rule that we talk about all the time, that we often will talk about in terms of solving problems, can be great in human interactions. Ooh, I just had some stimulus. I just got this nasty email. Oh, a text message came in that kind of hurt. Now, I could go off my first instinct, but I could actually take this and start to talk to the divine about it. I can take it into my prayer. I can take it into my meditation. I can take it into a curiosity inside of me of what it's bringing up. I can journal about it. Instead of going straight in, I can use this as a place of introspection. And yes, in that, I can start to have, and I'm going to use the F word, I'm going to start to have some fun with this.
Ooh.
Right? I'm going to use this thing that most people would say, oh my gosh, this is horrible, this is bad, this is wrong, this shouldn't be happening, and start to say, ooh, oh, I just got something kind of juicy. Ooh, I got something that made me feel a little triggered. Ooh, that wound hasn't been touched in a long time. Oh, look at all the things inside of me. Well, this is fun. What's happening? What is opening? What is life talking to me about?
What does life think I'm now ready to handle that I wasn't able to handle before?
Because when we evolve, it means we're ready for a new response. We're having something go on in our life, and instead of reacting the way we used to, there's a new level, a new tier of response that means we are becoming more.
Right. It's like little kids as they're growing up. Parents will start to give kids little pieces of responsibility, and as they prove, yeah, I can handle that level of responsibility, you get a little bit more, and you get a little bit more, and you get a little bit more, and that's the maturation process. So it's like the universe is always saying, well, what about this? Or are you ready to look at this now? Are we ready to heal this part? And it's not because it's against us, it's because it is for us. It is for our growth and evolution. And this is the thing that we said we came here to learn. We just forgot now that we're in these human bodies.
Right, so instead of making a story of, oh man, it's so hard when I lose my job. It's so hard when I have no money in the bank. Oh, it's so hard when my partner breaks up with me. Whatever those things are that we want to make like a story about the struggle, we can easily create a new question about, oh,
what's here?
What is here? What's happening? How could this be interesting? How do I create a question out of this experience that makes life interesting?
Right. And just to give a real, real-time example of this. So the other day we were in rehearsal and I was going to leave rehearsal early because I had this audition to get to. And everyone was like, yeah, that's great. Go to your audition. And we had had a really long day and I was getting ready to leave and an email came in. And the email just felt like one of those ones that just goes straight into your heart and hurts. And I felt like I was all of a sudden in an alternate reality because I felt so much pain, so much overwhelm. And the story that wanted to get created is, and you're in public, so you can't feel your feelings, and you have to act like everything's okay, and you have to go do this audition and act like you're happy, and it was almost like piling problems on top of the problem. And I've been listening to so much Eckhart Tolle lately and Byron Katie and really thinking about, okay, what's true? You know, the Byron Katie questions of, is it true? Is it really true? Who would I be without this thought? So, you know, are all these things true? Well, no, not all of these things are true. The one thing that's true is I just received an email and it really hurts and I don't know what to do with it. That's what's true. Well, who would I be without this? Well, I would go have the best audition ever and I would be fun and relaxed and have a great day. Okay, well then, the email came in, and I'm just going to use this as an example. Let's say at 4:02, the email came in. By 4:05, I'm outside walking towards the train. I'm still thinking about it. I'm still thinking. By 4:10, I'm on the subway platform. I'm still thinking about it. So at 4:02, something happened, and I had this realization standing on the subway platform. It is not still happening unless I decide It is still happening. So because my mind is ruminating, what am I going to do? How could this, they say that about me? How could someone feel this way about me? How could this be hurting so much? Because I'm thinking about it and thinking about it. I'm re-traumatizing myself. And that is my choice. That is my reaction. My reaction is to hold on to it and say, look how bad this is. Look how hurt I am. But the only person that is suffering is me. Because the second the other source sent the email, it's done for them.
Mm-hmm.
So the only person that's carrying this stimulus in real time is me. And I had this moment, what if it wasn't happening anymore? What if it happened at 4:02 and now it's 4:10 and there's something else happening? So let me just get really present. So what's happening right now? And then, friends, I'm not lying because the universe loves to like really make me learn the lesson. The train said delayed 19 minutes till the next train. So now I'm going to miss my audition. I'm going to be late. Now my audition's really ruined. I thought it was because of this email and now it's ruined because I'm not going to make it on time. And I said, is that really happening or is that what could happen in the future? So here I was faced with a negative past that I could keep reliving and re-traumatizing myself, or a potentially negative future that hasn't happened yet that I could in this moment worry about and fixate on to make me unhappy. But in this moment, the only thing that's happening is I'm listening to music on a subway platform in New York City. So just listen to the music. Just listen to the music. But this person said, just listen to the music. But I'm going to be late. Just listen to the music. And I just started saying to myself, well, if I'm here, there must be a reason that I'm here. So let me breathe and be fully present with being here and see what that reason is. Now, wouldn't you know it, in the time it took the train to get here, two different sets of tourists asked me for directions and I was able to be of service. I was able to listen to a beautiful song that really connected me to myself and my heart. And I was able to be in this game with myself of, here it comes again. Just be in this moment. Here it comes again. Just be in this moment. And I got to feel this sense of pride that the wave didn't overtake me.
Yeah.
That I was so responsible to my own healing and well-being that I stayed as the one who was responsible for that. And I didn't let anything in the outside world take me over. So I go to the audition. I have the best audition, the most fun. I meet this little 7-year-old guy who is adorable and happy and joyful, and we had the most fun. And none of that could have happened if I was holding on to the painful past or worried about the future. Now, also, I want to point out that I arrived at the audition exactly on time. Exactly on time. But I bet if I had put my energy and intention into worrying about it, I would have been late.
Oh, it's so true. It reminds me of this Abraham Hicks talk I was listening to this morning, and it was saying, in this present moment, there are always goodies. Spirit is always, ever offering these beautiful nuggets of yumminess, of the kind stranger, of a beautiful leaf that passes by you, of a baby smiling to you on the subway. In this present moment, there's always a beautiful goodie. Mm. But if we're not in this present moment, if we're back there in the past, reliving something or having an old conversation in our mind, or if we're in the future trying to get somewhere else, we're missing the goodie in this moment. So our responsibility to our well-being, as you put so beautifully, is that responsibility to go, ooh, life is happening now. All the good stuff is right here. I was talking to you about playing with this idea of being on vacation mentality everywhere I go, but it's only up to me to be on vacation. No one can put me on vacation. So I can be in the middle of tech rehearsal with all of the people and the stuff, and the only person who can say, and right now, you're having the best time of your life is me. Because I could also get into stress and fear and anxiousness and wanting to control. Or I could just be present and be like, this is awesome. Look at all this beauty. Look at all these wonderful people. And I can do that at every moment in my life, no matter what the circumstances. So even if we're in a circumstance where something negative happens. Rob Bell's podcast about his car accident with his daughter.
Yeah.
Right? Is this your first accident? How you can even take something like that and start to be curious about it. Mm-hmm. And what is the response that I'm bringing to this situation? Who am I being? No one else is responsible for that except for me. And so then I get to choose what kind of life I get to have in the world by the energy that I'm bringing to whatever arises.
And sometimes it feels like we come to this life and it's just problem after problem to solve. Well, if you think about it, I'm hungry. That's a problem. So then I eat. Now I'm full. Now that's a problem. So now I take a tablet to feel better. Yeah. Now I want to have a nap, and that's a problem. Yeah. So then I do that, and now I have to go to work. And so all we actually ever do is spend our life thinking we have to be the problem solver. But what I've noticed in taking a little space and just being a witness is that if I don't solve the problem, it will often get solved on my behalf, and therefore I don't have to be responsible to what isn't mine. Now, many of us will feel like, but if a problem shows up in my life and I am not solving it, then I'm being irresponsible. Mm. But what I'm finding, and you can all see about this in your own experience and experiment with this, but what I'm finding is when there's a lack of resolve in a conversation with someone, and I try to assert my will, or I try to solve it, or I try to make them see it my way, or I try to get to some sort of resolution, it's often really hard, and often both of us end up not getting what we want.
Yeah.
And there's another way of, well, let me just take a pause.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just see what life wants to do. That often the two people can come to the conversation from a very different place, and it's already solved. And so what I find is we as humans like to be overly responsible to what is not our responsibility.
Yes.
Which makes us unavailable for what we're truly here to be responsible for, which is our dharma and our service and our joy and our pleasure. And many of us were raised that as long as we put other people first or like deal with all our responsibilities first, then we get to play and have fun. And it's actually the other way around, that we're so inundated in solving problems that are not ours to solve that we're not having any fun.
That's
but
right.
Fun is the birthright.
Yeah, fun is the way into the solution.
Mm.
And often I think what happens is our mind gets into solving the problem, which actually clouds up our brain, and then we can't hear the solution.
Mm.
So I love to think of, when I have something in my life that feels too big or too heavy, is I offer it up to the divine. Florence Scovel Shinn talks about casting the burden, right? Giving it to the universe and saying, hey, this is yours. Tasha Silver talks about that in her book with finances. Give it right back over, mm-hmm. right? Say, hey, this is yours. Show me what to do. And in that, it creates a space in our mind. It creates the ability not to be stuck in a mentation. I think that's what like Michael Beckwith will call it sometimes. When we get into like the grinding
of the mentation of the mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in that space, and I love to think of my mind as like an empty bowl, and I've mm-hmm. created this beautiful space from which I can be present. And in that, when I've let go of needing to solve the problem, I can actually hear a broadcast. I can hear a new thought that doesn't come from me. It comes from a place from beyond. And in that space, something new arises,
mm-hmm.
and it often arises in the moment it is needed, and not before, like we want to have the answer before we get there, but often in a fresh new moment when it is needed. If my mind is clear, a solution will present itself.
Mm.
But if I'm stuck inside of trying to solve the problem, I'm never going to be available for it.
That's right.
I'll have blocked it.
That's right. Our job is not to solve problems. Our job is to experience the wholeness of ourselves in this life.
Yeah.
And if we're so busy putting out fires and solving problems and making money and going to our jobs, then we're going to miss the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is right here waiting for you. And it's actually your true responsibility to be responsible to joy and to fun and to play and to pleasure and to surrender and to what I would say the ultimate, which is accepting life exactly as it shows up.
And friends, if you want to try it this week, try it tomorrow. Put yourself on vacation.
Yeah.
From the moment you wake up, do all the things you usually do in your day,
mm-hmm.
but bring a vacation mindset no matter what happens, as you're getting dressed, as you're in the shower, as you're on your way to work, whatever you're doing, bring the mindset of, I'm relaxed. Mm. I'm off duty. Mm. All of this is fun. Mm. All of this is just play. How much enjoyment can I find in this present moment? How can I put down the things that are heavy and trust the solutions will present themselves? And how can I now be available to a fresh, new, wonderful moment? I often think, you know, when we go on vacation, and it seems like all these magical things happen. All
constantly.
The synchronicity is always going on, fun people, experiences. I think what actually happens is we're available in a different way.
Yeah.
That often when we're in the grind of our lives, we've like cast ourselves in some sort of role as that of the victim or the sufferer. And because we're inside that mindset of the person who's trying to survive, we can't thrive.
Yeah.
So from this moment on, we can be like, I'm kicking back my feet. I'm throwing my arms back in the air. I'm just on vacation.
Because if you can show life that no matter what stimulus comes your way, yes, I see that, but I'm also willing to take an equal stand for being happy, then I think life starts knowing that you mean business and you start getting a bigger life to live.
There we go.
There we go. So enjoy, have fun, be spontaneous, go on vacation in your day-to-day life, and notice in every moment what is here right now, and now what's here right now, and now what's here right now, because the stories that your mind are carrying are not actually there unless you say they are. And there's a real calling to say, what is happening right now is I am deeply loved by the universe. What is happening right now is I'm supported in everything I do. What is happening right now is I'm a magnet for money and hot men and abundance or whatever your jam is.
Yeah, fill in the blank as needed. And then the more fun you start to have with life, the more spontaneity and joy and playfulness and goodies that you are willing to accept, you'll also get to share. Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you like this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E. Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?